Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Friday. Good to be with you every day. And today, Friday, October 16th, as we wrap up another week of EWTN programming. And speaking of EWTN, our very own Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer, joining us on Fridays, as he always does, and going to share with us some more information about great programming on the network as we move into this election, which is, what is it now, 18, 17 days away, I think. I lost track. I know it's probably 18 days, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, very close, right around the corner. And EWTN has done such a great job of providing so many resources for us. I don't know if you had a chance to watch Raymond's terrific interview with the vice president last night in The World Over, but that definitely is something you need to check out. I actually have a link to it on my Facebook page, and Doug's going to be talking about the roundtable discussions that they're having, the special programming that they're doing. I caught one of them last Friday night at the end of our first day of our weekend pilgrimage back at the hotel, flipped on EWTN and was watching, and it was great. Father Spitzer, Father Mitch, Colin Donovan, Doug Keck, it was just phenomenal in terms of Catholic voting, and he'll share that with us, as well as the second edition of A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, and all kinds of other terrific programming that's going on the network to help you vote according to our faith. Speaking of which, I'm going to be having a new segment on. Started yesterday, two new segments for Catholic Connection, Faith versus Feelings, with that in mind in terms of what's going on in our world and in the election. And then today, every Friday now, through the election, at least up until election week, and I may even do it after that because there's always so much misinformation being put out there by the secular media, Friday Fact Check. And I'm going to spend this morning a good 10, 15 minutes taking a look at some of the big stories, how they are twisted, the extreme bias, the zero context, the constant negativity, confirmation bias, how you can tell whether you're being fed another line of baloney or if it's true, and the way the media positions stories. Very important. And what's going on now, this week, is off the charts horrible in terms of lack of respect for the First Amendment. We are now seeing censorship. And we've seen this before, but not to this extent. And that's why I'm glad that the Senate is jumping on this and going after Twitter and Facebook. This story that the New York Post did an exclusive earlier this week about emails, which are now allegedly connecting the vice president to China and Ukraine and funds that his son received, where he said he did not know anything about it prior. The minute that story went out, Twitter and Facebook shut it down. And brothers and sisters, what we'll talk about in Friday Fact Check is wherever someone stands on the issues, whatever party that maybe they've been involved in over the years, as a voter, and I just want you to answer this question to yourself. As a voter, do you think you deserve and need accurate information from the press in order to make an educated decision? Now, if the answer to that question, and I hope it's yes, then you need to seriously consider what you're being fed every day. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is not only because of my background. I left the secular media 20 years ago. I was in it for 20 years. One of the reasons I left and have written several books about media bias is because of what was happening. I didn't feel like I could serve God because I was being pressured to do certain things that were against not just my own personal beliefs as a Catholic, but against journalism standards that I was taught and that every journalist was supposed to be taught in J school. It was quickly becoming all about propaganda, agenda, a lot about money as well, but a lot about propaganda and agenda, and I could no longer honestly feel that I could serve properly my vocation and the gifts that God had given me as a writer and a speaker and a communicator in the secular media. And what we're seeing now, in addition to censorship, is very similar to what we see in communist countries. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. When you have so few people owning and operating massive media outlets that reach millions of people, and they're controlling the narrative. And not only the narrative, but they're preventing you from seeing all the information that you need to see about the candidates to make an educated decision. Now, don't you want to know, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, if there are reports about possible serious issues that they may have denied or have denied, and now we have evidence possibly allegedly showing otherwise? Well, not only are these social media giants preventing these stories from getting out there, in particular it was the New York Post that broke this story, but they're also influencing the other media, because the other media are completely ignoring it. Do you know these emails never came up in the discussion last night with George Stephanopoulos on ABC when he was hosting this so-called town hall, which was more like a love fest? Now, I don't have a problem with just asking some general questions, but you watch one town hall and it's all, everything's wonderful and you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, not a tough question to be had. And then you go to another network, to the candidate the media literally cannot stand, and it's combative, it's negative, there's interrupting. And you have someone who's supposed to be a moderator acting like someone who's debating. So these are the things we have to look at. And what bothers me so much and what's so frustrating from a Catholic perspective is people don't think they're influenced by the media, but the people who are writing me about this election, even after hearing our shows and listening to interviews like we did yesterday with Dr. Ralph Martin, are writing me about their feelings and are writing me about something they've seen in the secular press and taking it, no pun intended, as gospel. Okay? And this is what is so troubling. Yesterday, after I got off the air, after the interview we did with Dr. Ralph Martin from Renewal Ministries, who's put out a powerful video about the election and the importance and the paramount issues, and of course, looking a lot at the life issue because that's numero uno, I received this almost knee-jerk reaction email from the tone of a man who said, "I'm not voting at all. I don't like either candidate, and I'm pro-life, and I'm justified in my decision." No explanation, no backup from church teaching, nothing. He didn't vote in the last election, and he's not voting in this one because he doesn't like either candidate. What are we doing, waiting for Mr. Wonderful or Mrs. Wonderful to come along? Do you ever think there's going to be a perfect candidate that lines up completely with everything we believe as Catholic Christians? We're supposed to look at the common good and look at a candidate who's going to do the least amount of damage. It's not about what we feel and whom we like or don't like. And yet repeatedly, this is what's coming up in emails, and people are assuming that what they're reading, because they send me links to these stories. They're automatically assuming that this is true versus asking me, is this true? And that's troubling. And these are people who say that they're listening to us. Some of them could be trolls, but many people are identifying where they listen. And this is why we're working so hard. Again, we are not telling you for whom to vote, but we are telling you that the church has a guideline for us and says this is what we're supposed to do. There are a hierarchy of teachings. And we are responsible. We are our brother's keeper. It's not just about us. And now we have censorship going on. Stories being removed. If you try to post something about these stories that happened yesterday, the newspaper, that did this story, and thanks be to God, there are a few out there that are doing some real work. They are stopped from putting it out on social media. We have the social media entities working for one particular party and candidate. And this is not about me telling you for whom to vote. I am stating fact. This is why the Senate is now asking the head of Twitter to come and testify. Because it's election interference. And this is the type of activity that goes on in communist countries. This is not the First Amendment in action. It's just the opposite. And if you're okay with that, then I don't know what to tell you, but I'm not. That's not what journalism is supposed to be. And the First Amendment says it as well. This is not a free press that we're seeing. And it's scary. And we need to understand what's happening and how they attempt to manipulate people. And unfortunately, many of the people that are reaching out to us are showing evidence that they are allowing themselves, for whatever reason, to be manipulated. So we'll get into that in Friday Fact Check today. And also, Dr. Scott Hahn joining us for a few minutes at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Good News Cruise, which is coming up in 2022. He and Kimberly Hahn will be joining us. All right. Got to get to the news. A lot of big stories. I want to make sure we have plenty of time for our dear friend Doug Keck for our wonderful segment that we do every week called The Inside Word. Let's see what's happening in and around the world today on a Friday. Well, the Pope is talking about his global goals for education. Yesterday, the Holy Father saying he wants a world to see in the family the first and essential place of education. The Holy Father making this statement in a video message launching the Global Compact on Education, which was organized by the Vatican's Congregation for Catholic Education. The Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn is, as Scott Pringle tells us, hoping to hear from a judge today after suing New York State over tight coronavirus restrictions.
Brooklyn's Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio says one of his main arguments for loosening these restrictions is the fact that the diocese and parishioners are following all coronavirus protocols and there's no outbreak at his churches.
The state is not proven the need to close down services in our churches, basically. That basic contention is that.
Under Governor Cuomo's rules, houses of worship in the coronavirus hotspot red zones are only allowed 10 people max. DiMarzio is hoping a judge loosens that even just a bit to 25% capacity.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz wants a head of Twitter to explain why a story about Joe Biden's son is being censored by the social media giant. The Judiciary Committee will be holding a hearing next week to issue a subpoena to Jack Dorsey.
Twitter and Facebook and big tech billionaires don't get to censor political speech and actively interfere in the election. That's what they're doing right now.
The story alleges corruption with the Biden family receiving millions from communist China and that Biden's son Hunter, Biden connected a Ukrainian businessman with his father while he was vice president, which Joe Biden has denied. C-SPAN announcing Thursday it had suspended political editor Steve Scully indefinitely after he admitted he lied that his Twitter account was hacked after a message of former Trump aide turned adversary Anthony Scaramucci emerged. Scully, the Washington Journal host who was slated to moderate the canceled town hall debate between the president and Joe Biden, went viral last week after a tweet sent from his account indicated he had reached out to the former White House communication director. Both C-SPAN and the Commission for the Presidential Debates initially defended Scully. Judge Amy Coney Barrett could be appointed to the Supreme Court as soon as next Thursday. The Senate Judiciary Committee is set to vote on her nomination next week. Democrats did try to slow down the process during the fourth day of her confirmation hearing, saying the winner of the presidential election should choose Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's replacement. Senator Mitch McConnell is thrilled the way Judge Amy Coney Barrett has handled herself during the confirmation hearing.
This is an outstanding nominee. If you had a chance to watch her, she's absolutely brilliant, able to fend off all of the questions in an appropriate way for a judicial nominee.
Senator Mitt Romney, meanwhile, intends to vote yes on the president's pick for the Supreme Court. In a statement, the Utah Republican saying he's very confident that Amy Coney Barrett will faithfully apply the law and our Constitution. Romney adding she can do the job impartially, regardless of policy preferences. Senate's Majority Leader Mitch McConnell explaining early Thursday that they have the votes to confirm. Nearly 20 million people have already voted in the 2020 election. That's according to information reviewed by the U.S. Election Project out of the University of Florida. When it comes to mail-in voting, nearly 9 million ballots have been returned, almost 5 million by Democrats and more than 2 million by Republicans. And NBC's Savannah Guthrie receiving strong and negative pushback online on Thursday night for what many viewers and pundits described as extremely hostile and biased behavior toward the president during an NBC News town hall event. That event was held in place of the second presidential debate, which was canceled last week. Guthrie, whose husband was former Vice President Al Gore's traveling chief of staff during the 2000 presidential election, was repeatedly combative with the president, while Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden fielded mostly softball questions during a competing town hall event on ABC News, according to the pundits and the critics of Guthrie. It is 14 minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning, October 16th. Doug Keck up next with our inside word of all the great programming as we move closer to the most important election, in my personal opinion, in this nation's history. We'll be right back.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Life, religious freedom, and health care are at stake in this year's election. Do you have the right tools to confidently cast a vote that's informed by your Catholic faith? Join the Christ Medicus Foundation, CMF Curo, Divine Mercy University, and the Catholic Medical Association October 20th for Decision 2020, the informed Catholic voter. This 90-minute virtual event uses the lens of faith to address the important issues. Register for this free event at CatholicHealthcareConference.com.
Great to be with you on a Friday and every day here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Doug and I chatting during the break, and Doug mentioned regarding things being revealed. And I just realized, Doug, that's a gospel for today, Luke chapter 12. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. So there you go. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I have to admit that I haven't caught Mass yet, so... But that, I think, is an overall sense of what's been going on maybe the last 5 years or so, I think. And certainly I think what we're seeing now, where there's lots of this stuff has been underneath, and you had a sense that it was going on, and now it's becoming more and more blatant. I think that's one of the reasons to jump to why our original Wolf in Sheep's Clothing program on Saul Alinsky opened a lot of eyes a couple of years ago. I'm going to be running that again at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tomorrow night on Saturday, and it'll be followed by the latest, greatest Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
Okay.
It's a double feature, the gender agenda, and this one really looks at the whole liberal progressive influences over the years, John Paul Sartre, Kinsey, all of this. How did we end up suddenly where people don't know what sex they are or what's going on? I mean, as you saw, if you watch the softball interview that basically with a couple of people in the audience that Stephanopoulos did, there was one discussion about transgender where Joe got caught up in some old story about homosexuality from
seeing
when he
two men kissing.
Was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to think, what year was that that Joe, the Catholic father, was so open to homosexual relationships at the time? It's kind of interesting. My guess is, like many of those stories, they're apocryphal. But the whole point was that transgenderism isn't about saying you were born that way. Transgenderism is coming to terms with who you really are, and that's a decision that you make yourself. And to say in that, which he did, that basically some 8-year-old kid, girl, at least born a girl, what she is now, I'm not sure, and I don't mean that facetiously, but, you know, that, well, she really needs to be able to decide that. Is that really where we are? Do the vast majority of the people in the United States think some 8-year-old kid who usually can't figure out what they should eat for dinner or what's good for them to do on anything else in their life, suddenly is deciding who they are as a person sexually?
Well, but he actually said that child should have the right to choose. He said
absolutely.
That in the clip, and he also said that he would make laws to ensure that they wouldn't be discriminated against. And here's the thing. He also says all the time that he's all about the science. Well, if he looks at the science shows that, first of all, a child, the part of their brain that is developed and can recognize harm and things that might hurt them in a number of ways, that isn't developed until their early 20s. Dr. Ray talks about this, and Greg Popcak, they talk about this all the time. Not to mention, quote-unquote, the science shows us, if you look at, for example, the places over in Great Britain where they help, you know, kids supposedly basically transfer right. over to their other sex or transition. There are employees coming out saying science has nothing to do with it. It's total pressure, and they're not even sitting down and talking to these children to find out if there's other issues going on. So what science is he talking about? And you mean to tell me, so would you allow an 8-year-old to drive? Would you allow an 8-year-old to drink? Would you allow an 8-year-old to do anything
else?
You know
what, else? Teresa, the issue, if you step back and look at it realistically or with something they used to call common sense, there's not even a discussion. It's just that so many people are so busy worrying about being intolerant or worried that somebody's going to think that they're being judgmental. It's interesting. I interviewed Father Rutler the other day for Bookmark, and one of his wit and wisdom of Father Rutler, his line, he said, all these people who say you shouldn't be judgmental usually are incredibly guilty
judgmental.
Of something.
Yeah, we're guilty, and then they judge us.
Things, right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, it's just this, and he talks about in a new book he has out from us on crisis culture, the idea of loss of common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so many things that you look at, the emperor has no clothes. What would your parents think of, or your grandparents think of some of these positions you take today? They'd say, really? Really? It's just incredible, but we get caught up in this soup, in this milieu, where we can't tell what's real and what's not anymore. Like you said, we live in this virtual reality.
Right.
We're being fed. They always said with computers, garbage in, garbage out. What you're getting is a bunch of junk. Well, then you can't process it. And the other thing was, you mentioned, it was very nice of you to mention our EW10 Theology Roundtable.
Oh, it was great. And we watched it last Friday. It was great.
I did with Father Mitch and Father Bob Spitzer and Colin Donovan. That's going to air as well this afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern and 11 p.m. Eastern. So if you missed it, we really just go through the EWTN Voters Guide, which you can find on our website, and go through the issues that people need to understand about what does it really mean to form a Catholic conscience. It doesn't mean, I think this way and I feel this way. It means I need to understand what the Church is teaching and make that preeminent in my decision-making process. And also, we go through the whole fallacy of the seamless garment, which says, of course, all these issues are related, but they're not equal in importance, as you mentioned about the hierarchy of truth. And you can't take something as intrinsically evil like abortion and euthanasia and then say, well, I've got those two, but I've got eight other ones on the other side, and say, well, the eight outweigh the two. It doesn't work that way.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? You can't do that. You can't say, well, this guy murdered somebody over here, but this guy robbed the store five times, so that's worse because he did five things and he only did one thing. Well, that's ridiculous. No one would ever think like that. But effectively, that's what we're thinking.
Right. And with this whole thing with the 8-year-old,
pray about that.
What a parent say to the, if the 8-year-old came up and said, well, you know what, Mom, I really believe that I need to stay home from school and not go back to school, because that's how I identify. I identify as someone who wants to stay home, or identify as someone who wants to eat nothing but Cheetos all day long.
Exactly.
This is what we're talking about. And yet when it comes to below the belt issues, sexuality, my 8-year-old can have their own mind. I mean, that's ridiculous.
You know, I hate to say that there's an element of fashion into some of this stuff, but sometimes you wonder if there isn't some of that. And also, you deal with young children, they're confused. But also, as much as you maybe 20 years ago if this came up, somebody would be perceived as a negative, today it almost makes you perceived as somebody special. And so you have to be careful about those kinds of things. You know, one of the things I talked about with Father Spitzer the other day was an interview that Cardinal Mueller from the CDF, mm-hmm. the former CDF head, did in Germany. And they asked him about the election over here. Now, this isn't Doug Keck. This is Cardinal Mueller's comment. He said, I cannot and do not intend to pass judgment on Joe Biden's personal faith. But his stance on the legalization of killing children in the mother's womb until the ninth month, and in the case of deformities even after birth, contradicts the sacred right to life of every human being that belongs essentially to him through God, his creator. Pope Francis, who gladly cites divine authority, vigorously expounds this in his latest encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, as one of the non-negotiable fundamental values. That's important to know. That's a former head of the CDF, and that's quoting Pope Francis, who many people like to quote about other issues or to act like somehow climate change, as one bishop mentioned, is somehow on the equivalency of murdering unborn children.
To the tune of 1 million a year and close to 67 million that have lost their lives since Roe v. Wade. I mean, what compares to that? Nothing.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as Father Spitzer says, life is the first one on the list of your rights. Why? Because if you're dead, the other ones don't matter. If you're never born, it doesn't matter. And if you take that to the conclusion that we need fewer poor people, well, maybe we should have a test of how much money you make and whether you can have kids, and we can be just like China. We can eliminate.
Well, we're getting there, just like China, in terms of the media control, the censorship, and everything else, and predicting what you want, what you should and should not read. They're telling us what they think is important. Wish we had more time. Doug, thanks so much. All of the items and the great programming Doug mentioned, check it out on EWTN.com. We'll be right back.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge them and to say, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, like more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Some good news for a change. 28 minutes past the hour, good news as in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel message. We will be discussing all of that and more and having great fun and faith and fellowship celebrations when we do our, God willing, good news cruise in 2022. The one earlier this year, a huge success, and it is really an all-star lineup of EWTN folks, including our guests this morning, Dr. Scott Hahn, his beautiful wife Kimberly, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, Father John Ricardo, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Al Cresta, Deacon Domini, and many, many more, Father Leo Padlinghug. It's going to be awesome, and goodnewscruise.com. It's going to come up in 2022, and we've got the website all set if you'd like to check it out or register. And Scott, always great to speak to you. How are you and Kimberly?
We're doing great, Teresa. How are you and Deacon Don?
We are hanging in there and just moving forward every day and doing what the Lord, or at least trying to do what the Lord is calling us to do. I am so excited that you are joining us because I remember years ago, I don't know if you remember this, I like to tell this story because this is the kind of person you are. When I was being challenged, I was working at an evangelical station for a short period of time and people found out that I was Catholic. And I was under great attack. And I actually somehow, the reporter in me found your number. And I called you, and you called me back, and you didn't even know me from Adam then, and you talked to me, and we had a great conversation, and you gave me so much encouragement. So I can't say enough about how you and Kimberly have helped me in my own journey, in our own journey back to the Catholic Church, and I'm so excited that you're going to be joining us. What does it mean for you, and I know you speak for your beautiful wife, to be on a cruise like this?
Well, we've done cruises before, but I mean, to actually do a cruise as couples, I think, is unique, because what it will mean for us is to not only get to share time with other couples, but to have that time just to renew the wellsprings. And I think the need is so much greater now because of the convulsive cultural upheavals. You know, this is a year and a half from now when all of the dust and ash has settled at least somewhat, you know, and I think it's time for people to take stock as married couples to recognize that marriage is the nucleus of the family. The family is the living cell of the church. The church is the soul of society. And so it's easy to come up with excuses for neglecting to renew the wellspring, to really allow, you know, all of the challenges, all of the crises, all of the urgent matters just to kind of cause us to neglect our marriage. And you don't realize you're doing it until all of the hectic hubbub stuff has gone on for weeks or months. You know, I was just talking to somebody last night, and they're really busy. And they're just noticing, wow, my marriage is suffering. And it has been for quite some time, and I apparently didn't notice it. And so it just, I can say this, after 41 years of marriage, I didn't know I could have a best friendship like this. It took a long time, and we still have to work at it, you know. But I tell you, the potential fulfillment that comes from the grace of the sacrament, it's not just theory, it's practice. It's not just abstract, it's concrete. And a good news cruise, it's what affords almost the perfect opportunity, you know. And, you know, if people come along and the first night or two they realize they have things to talk through, talk them through. Because you're not going to have any better scenery, you know, than the Caribbean to kind of talk, to apologize, to forgive, to pray, and then to get on with the beginning of a new year and just a new season of grace.
And I think that's what we work into the schedule as well, plenty of couple time. And people can go and they can have their afternoons maybe sitting out, you know, on the deck and having a glass of wine and talking together. And they can attend all the talks if they so choose, or they can spend more time together. Interesting, one of the responses we received this year, Scott, from the cruise is there was a lovely couple that wrote us, and they said, okay, we're going to come and we're just going to go listen to Father John Ricardo because we love him. But then this is going to be a vacation. This is just going to be a vacation. We're just going to hang out. Well, of course they went to hear Father John speak. But then they stayed for one other talk and another talk and another talk, and they said they just could not get enough because it was very uplifting and edifying, and they learned a lot. So they went with the idea of, we're going to really chill and just listen to Father John, and that'll be fun, then we'll do our own thing, and ended up going to every single event, which I think is a statement to what we try to bring to this cruise. We're talking with Dr. Scott Hahn, really needs no introduction, convert to the faith, a best-selling author, theologian, and also really involved in a beautiful, beautiful biblical center called the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, and he's going to tell us about an event coming up. But he's going to be, along with his beautiful wife, Kimberly, one of the keynote speakers at our upcoming Good News Cruise 2022. And all the details, goodnewscruise.com, on the Oasis of the Seas, which is a huge ship and a beautiful ship. Deacon Dom and I have sailed on that. So really looking forward to having both you and Kimberly there. And I just recommended, Deacon Dom and I did a mini pilgrimage last week to the Marian Shrine in Wisconsin and to one of our shrines here in Michigan. And someone asked me for a book, you know, in terms of, she said her husband isn't where she is. And she said, what book? And I immediately said, Rome, Sweet Home. Rome, Sweet Home. Mm-hmm. Get it? Right. Because it's really beautiful the way you walk through what happened, and that it took Kimberly a while to come along and to really take a look at the Catholic faith.
Yeah. But like a slinky going down the stairs, it took a while for her to catch up, and then she just has overtaken me in terms of wisdom and righteousness. And oh, it's so much fun. To
How old are we that we could talk about slinkies? We're dating ourselves.
Well, alas.
All right. Well, tell us what's happening with the St. Paul Center. How's that going?
Well, the St. Paul Center is getting ready to celebrate its 20th anniversary. And Kimberly and I founded this back in 2001 for a simple reason. biblical literacy for lay people, biblical fluency for clergy, raising up a whole generation of scriptural Catholics who know how to read the Bible from the heart of the church for prayer, for, you know, apologetics, but especially just to renew their spiritual lives. And now we have like 30-plus full-time co-workers, and we're planning a virtual gala. You can go to stpaulcenter.com, that's stpaulcenter.com. October 28th is going to be my 63rd birthday. It's the Feast of St. Simon and Jude. And, of course, Simon was the zealot apostle of the 12, and Jude is the patron of lost causes. So I just thought it's an instance of divine providence and humor for that to be my birthday. So we're going to be talking all about Christ and our culture. Who would know why? Well, right now, I mean, we need Christ in our culture more than I need my next breath of air.
Amen.
And so we're going to be discussing what constructive steps we can do, how God wants to use us to really transform our culture, but also how marriage and family life is the thing, for most of us at least. And so, you know, we're going to be having a series of, it's going to be a couple of hours. It is going to be very exciting. So I just really want to invite all of our listeners to join us for the St. Paul Center virtual gala, and that is October 28th, and you can go to stpaulcenter.com. Kimberly's going to be on with me and a number of others as well.
Yeah, and check out all the great resources.
Well.
Yeah, all the great resources, your books and the different resources that are on there to learn more about Scripture and our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Scott, thanks so much. I know you're so busy with everything you do. Thanks for joining us on the cruise in 2022, and thank you for being such an amazing witness that so many of us just draw so much help and support from. Really appreciate all your great work.
Oh, you're welcome. Teresa, mega dittos. I mean, thank you. And Deacon Dom and all of our listeners, too. I mean, it's a really important time to remain faithful
yes.
and joyful.
And to be work on that together. Thank you, Scott. God bless you. Give my best to Kimberly. And again, don't forget, they've got the gala coming up, and that would be at the St. Paul Center website. You can also find it through Dr. Scott Hahn's website. Don't forget goodnewscruise.com for all the speakers, including Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, Father John Ricardo, Father Leo, and so many more. Goodnewscruise.com. And also, don't forget the stpaulcenter.com as well. We'll be right back.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
No doubt we are in a time of crisis, and I refer here not to the current declared pandemic, but to the constitutional crisis we are facing as a result. Unfortunately, once government officials yell pandemic in a crowded government theater, the public safety interest has taken precedent over the Bill of Rights and the public's liberty. While the fear engendered by war or a pandemic might lead politicians to assert that patent violations of the Constitution are not what they appear to be, and that even if they were what they appear to be, in these times of danger, the public safety interest demands an exception to our most fundamental liberties. History teaches they'll look back on these arguments as gravely wrong, overruled in the court of history and having no place in law under the Constitution. Indeed, the response to a pandemic or any emergency cannot be permitted to undermine our system of constitutional liberties or the system of checks and balances protecting those liberties. In the final analysis, there is no pandemic exception to the fundamental liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. Let us pray that we have more judges who understand their role as guardians of the Bill of Rights and who will not wait for history to conclude that these draconian restrictions imposed on our fundamental freedoms during this current pandemic have no place in law under the Constitution. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Please check out all of our great programming at EWTN.com. As Doug mentioned, some very, very important documentaries that we've done and worked so, so hard on are coming up this weekend, tomorrow night. They've got the first Wolf in Sheep's Clothing Part 1 coming up, and then right after that, tomorrow night, will be Wolf in Sheep's Clothing Part 2 with a concentration on the transgender agenda, which has pretty much taken over in terms of the culture, in addition to other things in the culture of death. And it's such a tragedy because of what's happening with young people. Imagine someone 7 or 8 years old trying to figure out their sex, or being told that there's something different than what they are, made in the image and likeness of God, and then people willing to just blanketly make laws saying that everything is fine and you can do whatever you want. I decided to start this segment called Friday Fact Check because I am literally losing sleep every night about how the media are manipulating information. Now, that's been going on for a long time. This isn't exactly a news flash, but I've never seen it to the level of what we're experiencing now, especially right before this election. This has been happening to the nth degree over the past few months in 2020 because of this election coming up, and it's just over the top. And what worries me so much, and the reason I wanted to start this segment, is because I'm hearing from many people who say, by the way of their email and what they're saying, the tone of their email, and the fact that they send me links to secular stories that are rarely fact-checked or vetted or have any context and are filled with confirmation bias, they accept it as truth. And they say, this is what I'm basing my decision on. They don't mention church teaching. They don't mention anything having to do with developing a truly well-formed conscience. They don't talk about the common good, which is what we're supposed to be about as Catholic Christians. It's not just about our feelings and whether we like someone or not, or appreciate their personality or don't appreciate their personality. And very frustrated, despite all of the information that's been out there by folks like myself who've worked in the secular media for many years, or Raymond Arroyo, as he said on the show earlier this week, or many, many people, even Doug Keck, who worked in the secular media, and others. For example, Bernie Goldberg got this all started, and he's not a conservative at all. He was just sick and tired of the bias. He was really the first one in the secular arena to bring this out. And yet, so many people believe what they want to believe and have already made up their minds based on something that they've seen in the news, which 9 times out of 10 is very inaccurate and in many cases completely false. So I thought I would just start by talking about a few of the stories that we saw this past week and kind of put this in context for you. One of the biggest stories that's breaking, and I'm really, really glad that they're calling these owners and these operators of these social media giants to task and demanding that they come in. They're being subpoenaed to testify before the Senate because there is now election interference going on. You have these major outlets, huge social media outlets, Twitter and Facebook, as you heard the clip from Senator Ted Cruz from Texas say, that are interfering in an election and stopping you from hearing something negative about the candidate that they support. And there's a new report out about how many Facebook and Twitter employees donate to a particular party, to the tune of millions. A vast majority, over 90% of the employees, are supporting a particular party. So what do we do? How do we make sense of what's being thrown at us? Well, the biggest thing we're seeing now, number one, is censorship. So when there is an effort, to delete, to stop, to shut down information being passed, when you look at the topic of the story, then you realize they're trying to prevent you from seeing the full news so you can make an educated decision. As I asked you at the top of the hour, you're a concerned voter, you want to gather information, you want to make a wise decision based on reality, based on fact, not fiction, but you're not giving the information. You're presented with all negative news all the time about one party or candidate and nothing negative about the other. The other is actually being protected, as was an example of last night's so-called town halls, where presidential candidate Joe Biden was not even asked about this big story allegedly connecting him to China and Ukraine, which he has repeatedly denied. Now, according to the New York Post, they have emails showing that just the opposite is true. And then you have Twitter and Facebook temporarily shutting down the president's Twitter account, his press secretary's Twitter account, people trying to post and share the story, including the New York Post, their own accounts affected. So in other words, they want to continue to present a certain image. Now, however you feel about a candidate, you deserve the information, the reality of what's going on, so you can make an educated decision. And it's censorship and it's extreme bias when they're only showing you the negative about one party or one candidate. Recent surveys show, for example, that 95% of the news pertaining to President Trump, as reported by the major secular outlets such as CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, and major newspapers, has been negative. Over 95%. Now, come on. That is not news reporting. That is propaganda. That is the type of so-called news you see, which is not even news, in countries such as China, Venezuela, Russia. It's like state-controlled media, basically. And is that the kind of information on which you want to base an important decision? All right, let's look at the confirmation bias that has occurred with Amy Coney Barrett. Someone wrote me this week and said, well, you know, they really didn't go after her religion. It was only the Republicans who brought up her religion. Well, the Republicans made a point of it because they raked her through the coals the first time around when she was going through the confirmation hearings for the current position she has on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. This is a famous line from Feinstein, "The dogma lives loudly within you." Now, also because it's so close to the election, those who sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee wanted to be careful not to attack her personally, but they did it indirectly, very condescending, actually sort of poking fun at her as a mom, a working mom with seven children, constantly giving you the impression that because of what she has written in terms of when she was in college and she signed on a letter of pro-life statement, and her involvement in this People of Praise, which was totally misrepresented, because of her beliefs, even though they didn't directly talk about the Catholic Church, because of how this has been expressed, then certainly she is not fit to sit on the high court. Because she, and this is what Senator Kamala Harris said, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg came out and talked about a woman's quote-unquote right to choose during her confirmation hearing, and the fact that Amy Coney Barrett has the exact opposite views and won't weigh in on Roe v. Wade and the decision and what she would do with it, then they automatically assume that she's going to overturn it. So therefore, she is not the proper person for that position. So there is a confirmation bias going in. Similar, think about what happened with Nicholas Sandman, if you remember years ago. Actually, about 2 years ago now. Young man at the March for Life, a white man, white young man, standing by, waiting for the bus with his other fellow Catholic students, and he was wearing a MAGA hat. And along comes an activist, a Native American activist, and approaches him. He stands there, tries not to, you know, engage, and just stands there and tries to hold his ground. The most composed young man I've ever seen. I doubt if any of us, if you look at that whole video, would have that much composure. And so what happens? The activist group releases a very small clip from the entire incident. It goes viral, and everyone is calling this young man a racist and everything else under the sun. Come to find out, when we see the whole video, the exact opposite of what the activist said had happened had occurred. And now we have major lawsuits that are going through in terms of libel and defamation against these networks who ran this man's reputation into the ground and threatened his family. His family is still getting death threats. So the confirmation bias, he's white, he's Catholic, he's at a pro-life march. It was almost too good to be true for the secular press. It fit every bias that they have toward us. And how do I know this? Because I worked in the newsrooms for 20 years. And the surveys, and you can look at this in my book, Extreme Makeover, in my book, Noise, in my book, Beyond Sunday, I document all of this. The surveys going back decades show the media lean to the left. And the majority of people in the media are pro-abortion, pro-so-called same-sex marriage, anti-prayer in schools, and on and on and on. Now, none of that, their personal opinion, should matter. If they were doing their job as trained journalists, they should be able, at least to some degree, put those personal opinions aside and do their job. And if they're doing an editorial, there should be a lower third on the screen. Or if they're writing a news article versus an editorial, that has to be distinguished. None of that is going on right now. Also, in terms of Amy Coney Barrett, the lack of context for this People of Praise group. They immediately associated the People of Praise with a ridiculous Netflix series, Handmaid's Tale, which is all about this dystopian, you know, story of Christian fundamentalists running this group of women because of there's a fertility crisis, so they're forcing women to have children. Well, again, this fits perfectly into how they see Christian pro-life women, that we are oppressed, that we're being forced to have children, that we have no mind of our own. I mean, even Amy Coney Barrett said that. She says, I would hope you think that I have my own mind. But because she has 7 children and she is Catholic and she has made no bones about her commitment to her faith and her pro-life views, she is backward. She's associated with this series, even though the author herself of this, of the book on which this series Handmaid's Tale is based, said that the People of Praise, which is, by the way, an approved group of the Vatican, an ecumenical group, had nothing to do with her writing this book. So zero lack of context and extreme confirmation bias, not to mention the negativity. When you see a network or a newspaper always having negative headlines about an issue, about a person, about a party, again, we could just look at abortion, right? That is not news, that is propaganda. And also with the People of Praise and the idea of handmaid, the lack of context and the illiteracy when it comes to faith on the part of the secular press. You put in a Google search, you can find it in 10 seconds, references to the word handmaid in scripture. And so for them to say that handmaid is bad is for many of these people in the news business who are fallen away Catholics, such as Chris Cuomo, having no idea what their faith teaches. So basically what they're saying is that they're denouncing the Blessed Mother, the Theotokos, the God-bearer. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word. Handmaid is not a negative in the eyes of Christians, because we believe in putting others first, the common good. And this is what Our Lady said, let it be done to me according, you're God, I'm not. I trust you. And so this whole concept of self-sacrifice, of commitment, of this sharing back and forth, her talking about her husband, helping her and getting up every day and saying, what can I do for you? This is so foreign, unfortunately. But sadly, the media build on their own confirmation bias because of what they themselves have been sold and told, and maybe their own pain that they've gone through. Confirmation bias, zero context, negative news all the time. All of those things should cause you to check and balance when you're receiving information from the media, especially if you're going to look at that in terms of trying to figure out for whom to vote. And that is our first edition of Friday Fact Check. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GETCURO.
Thanks so much for tuning into the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria and EWTN. And speaking of all kinds of great resources, don't forget the EWTN Voters Guide, as well as Ave Maria has now placed my Voters Guide that I put together, my voter resource list, on their homepage at AveMariaRadio.net. In the slideshow says Teresa's Tips for Voters. And we have a whole slew of voting resources talking about the common good, non-negotiables, quotes from the catechism, researching the candidates, educating yourself, church teaching on voting. I'm just reading the list that we have. Articles and blogs, ebooks, Catechism of the Catholic Church, different programs, many of which we mentioned today with Doug Keck and Al Cresta, and all kinds of great resources. It's on the homepage at AveMariaRadio.net. Monday, Father John Ricardo joining us. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.